And it's so good to see you here this morning, and welcome to all those who are listening online today, and we welcome them. You know, we often say around here, Briarcliff's a place where everyone is welcome, nobody's perfect, anything is possible. Say that one more time. Briarcliff is a place where everyone is welcome, nobody is perfect, and no one is perfect. And I want to emphasize that for a moment. No one is perfect. That person sitting next to you, they're not perfect. They're thinking the same thing about you also, that you're not perfect. In fact, we were looking at how are we going to title this series, and we came up with all kinds of titles. And the first title I gave to this series was, I'm Not Okay. And then I retitled it, You're Not Okay. But then we've settled on a more wholesome title, is that finding wholeness as a person. And we're not perfect, but here's what God did. Just to remind you, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, look at it. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Then he goes on in chapter 2 of Genesis and says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living creature. It's translated in many different ways. A living creature, a living being. The old King James says he created him as a living soul. What happened? God doesn't make junk. So what happened to this creature that he created here, and he breathed into him the breath of life? What happened? Well, we know this all happened in chapter 1 and 2, but what happens in chapter 3? Sin entered the world, and there was a separation between this God that does everything perfectly and mankind that had sinned, and there was a separation there, and it brought death. What happened there, and I want just to remind us what happened because of that sin. There was a separation, and the effects of this affected us physically because we physically die. It affected us mentally because we don't think straight. It affected us emotionally because we deal with all kinds of emotions that are not healthy at all. It deals with relationships because it wasn't long until they realized they were naked and there was a separation even between mankind. And it brought separation spiritually. So this fall of man, it included all of us. Now the good news is the story of the Bible is a story of restoration, of putting all that back together again and wholeness. So that we are made whole physically eventually, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally. Every facet of us brought together in this redemption story. Now, this redemption story of restoration is not finished. Peter was preaching one day on the porch of Solomon's porch, and he says this, Jesus whom heaven must receive. In other words, Jesus already ascended into heaven. He said, this Jesus whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all things. So he's not finished with you. No one is perfect, but he's not finished with you. He will make all of us eventually, through his redemptive work, make us totally perfect, restoring all things about which God has spoken through the prophets. Now, a time out for just a moment. What is our soul? When we read about the soul of man, what is that? How would you, if somebody came up and said, tell me, I'm kind of struggling with this idea of soul. What is the soul of man? How would you respond to that? It is kind of confusing. Here's the popular idea. The popular idea is that it is the non-physical part of us that you do not see. Sometimes we say, well, that person died and their soul went to heaven. Or you don't see the soul, it's something down in the inside of you. Is that correct? How many of you think that's correct? How many of you think that is not correct? How many of you don't have a clue? You know, there's the confusing thing is both is true. I want to just walk down through some scriptures to help you understand the Bible and its teaching of the soul. It uses this word soul when God created mankind and he became a living being or a living soul. I want you to see how many different ways soul is spoken of in the Bible. So it is used in many, many different ways. The first, of course, is the one that we already looked at in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God created this man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Okay, now how else is that same word used throughout the Bible? Well, the point is that it's not a matter that you have a soul. You are a soul. It's not just that you have a soul. He created you as a soul. So what we're shooting for is the wholeness of our soul. Let's look at how that is used. First of all, it's talked about our inner being. Psalms 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. In other words, our soul is that which is down inside of us, is aware that there is some sort of being, there is a God, and my soul hungers. I want to know him. Can I connect with him? That's that inner being within us. That is our soul. But it's also our emotions. Look at what Job said. He said, have I not wept for the ones whose life is hard? Was not my soul grieved for the needy? Grieved. See, the soul is where we have feelings. The soul is where we weep. The soul is where we cry out and sorrow and grieve. And that is our soul. That is our emotion. So not only is our soul this life that God has given us, not only that part of us that hungers for God, but also our very emotions. You all have feelings. You all have emotions. And then it's used in another way. It talks about how we think. This is in Acts chapter 14, verse 2. The Jews had a hard time understanding that God really did love the Gentiles. In fact, they would poison their minds. And what Peter is saying here is the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the mind of the Gentiles. That's the word soul. Stirred up the soul or the mind, the way that we think. Next week, we're going to delve into this subject of the way that we think, because it is so important for us to have the right kind of thinking if we're to be healthy. I went through a period of time of deep depression, and it's primarily brought on because my mind was all messed up. I had patterns of thought that were taking me down and down and down. And God's restoration wants to restore our soul, which means to restore our mind the way that we think. And that's so very important. We'll get to that next week. And then another one is John chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus had received the sour wine. He said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That's the word soul. So we begin to see the picture now of what our soul is. Our soul is not just something inside of us. It is our total being of who we are. Dallas Willard, I don't know if you've read any of Dallas Willard or not, but he is one of the most brilliant Christian philosophers of our day. He died not too many months ago. And if you've read anything of his, he's the most mind-stretching for me to read. And I've read a number of things that he's written, and it's always a challenge for me to keep up because he wants to take me deeper and deeper and deeper. But here's what he says about the soul. He said, your soul is what integrates your will, in your mind, in your feelings, in your values, in your body. Your soul is what encompasses all. Your soul is what integrates all that together, the way that you think, the will, the decision factor in your life, the way that you feel, the values that you have, and your very body. It incorporates all that together because you are a soul. Not just do you have a soul, you are a soul. So, healthiness comes this way. We are healthy when all of that comes together in harmony. When our will and our mind and emotions and our body and our spirit all come together in harmony, that is wholeness. And that's the point of this series of messages on how to grow in that wholeness, in which this redemptive work of God is not just to save our soul from going to hell, but He's actually interested in all of us and the restoration of our emotions, our feelings, our will, every part of us. And then we have a ministry of restoring souls. James says it this way in chapter 5, verse 20, whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul. Will save his soul. We're in the soul-saving business. Really? Can we save souls? Need to be careful of that. Only God can save souls. Our job is to bring them to God. He's the only solution to have wholeness. He's the only solution to bring all of this together. We cannot do that. But we worship one who can. So our work is to bring people together. He's interested. And most of the time in church, we think of church as just saving souls so they won't go to hell, and the rest of you can go to pot. No, God is interested in the whole of mankind. He's interested in our wholeness. He's interested in the way that we think or feel or have emotions. He's interested in the whole thing of us, and He wants harmony and bringing all that together in our life. Now, bringing people to know Christ in salvation is incredibly important. F.F. Bruce, a great, great scholar, a great writer, spent most of his life in the academic world and in explaining God's Word and writing many, many things. I read a number of things from F.F. Bruce back in seminary days. And he talks about his career, and he said it was a wonderful career. It was very gratifying to take scriptures and delve into them and get in the very depths of them and help people to understand them and interpret them for it. But he goes on to say the greatest work of all, the greatest work of all is bringing people to know Jesus. Up above all these other scholarly things that I've done, the most valuable is bringing people to know Jesus. The soul is what Jesus is interested in, is physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally. So are you broken down in any of those? See, the restoration that God is interested in is not just in your going to heaven. Vital, He's interested in that. But His interest in the way you feel. You've got some messed up feelings that you deal with depression. We'll get into that later on in this series. You deal with anxiety. You deal with forgiveness. You deal with grief. You've had a great loss in your life. Does God care about that? That is the soul. We grieve. We hurt. And so God is interested in every facet of that. And our ministry here is to be interested in every facet of that. So how healthy are you? Well, most of us understand a little bit more about having a healthy body. And so if you don't have a healthy body, you go to a doctor to help you know how to have a healthy body. Here's what I understand something, is that knowledge changes hardly anything. You can go to the doctor, and he tells you what to do. Do you do it? He tells you how to be more healthy, and you have the knowledge. Did that change your life? Not until you do it. So God is interested in this body that we have. It's called the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's very sacred. So how we take care of the body is because we are a soul. But how healthy are you in the way that you think? Do you worry a lot? Do you have a lot of anxiety? Do you deal with depression? Do you deal with non-forgiveness? What kind of stuff goes on in your head? I didn't know until I had someone to challenge me, and we'll get into that just a little bit later on, of this whole thing that's going on in your mind and your emotions and how healthy you are. So what are the steps to wholeness? Three things. And this is worth anchoring down on for just a moment, because this is what Jesus said in his message there, as he ended up in chapter 11, Matthew. There's three verbs here. Verse 28, come to me. The first verb is come. What's the next verb? Verse 29, take. Take what? Take my yoke. What is the third verb? Learn from me. Now that's the three steps to begin with in wholeness. Who was he talking with? Let me just read this again. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Here's the promise. When you come, I will give you rest. Now why were they heavy laden? Why were they burdened down? Why were they so pressed down? Who's he talking to? He's talking to very religious people. What is pressing down on them? Why are they so heavy laden? Their religion has worn them out. And this religion is making them guilty. This religion is putting a big burden on them. And he said, I didn't come to bring religion to you. I came to bring what? A relationship to you. Come. Come to me. Come to me. When you are in big trouble, what's one of the first reactions you have? You want to go to a friend. The first church I worked in, a little country church, and I did the music and youth, and a very traumatic thing happened to me, and it was a big conflict. It just rocked my world. You know what the first thing I did? I still remember nearly running back into the house, getting on the phone, and calling my father in the ministry to tell him what had happened. The first thing you want to do, you want to call on friend. I've got to share this with somebody that can help me with the load. And Jesus is standing saying, the first step of wholeness is come to me. Come to me. And then what's his promise? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Now, most of us know how to rest physically, don't we? You can lay down and take a nap, or you can just sit down and have a cup of coffee or a soda or whatever. And we know how to rest physically. I've known how to do that. But do you know how to rest emotionally? What I learned the tough way is I did not know how to rest. I knew how to rest physically, but I did not know how to rest emotionally. I did not know how to rest mentally. So I would be really worn out and tired and the loss of energy, and I'd lay down for a moment, and it didn't help me whatsoever. Because my body was doing nothing, but my mind was going crazy. And I wasn't resting. I thought I was. But inside of me, my emotions and my thinking and my feet, all that, I did not know how to rest. Taking a break to rest my body didn't help my anxiety. It didn't help my stress. It didn't help my worry. It didn't help any of that. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest that not only physically, but emotionally, deep down inside, to learn to rest. Any of you deal with stress? Do you know how to rest from stress? Do you realize that stress is not bad? In fact, the way you build a muscle is you put stress on that muscle. And then you relax. What happens if you put pressure on the muscle and you never relax? Let me have you do something. Take your fingers and lock them together right in front of you. And I want you to pull as hard as you can. Just pull. Now, do that till I finish this message. What happens after you pull so long? Your muscles begin to shake. That's exactly what happens when inside of you stress never relaxes. And just as sure as water freezes at 32 degrees, if you don't take a break from the stress, it will end up as depression, as sure as the world. So we need to learn to rest. And Jesus said, come to me, all ye that are, you're weighted down. It may be worry. It may be stress. It may be anxiety. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. See, we need, in the church a lot of times, we just talk about this soul of the Spirit. But God is interested, yes, in that. By all means, He's interested in that. But He's interested in the whole of us, our soul. Now, come to me, all ye that are burdened, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What's the second verb? Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Now, in today's world, many do not know what a yoke is. This is not the yellow of an egg, if just so you know. Yoke, if you go back in ancient times, they used oxen to pull heavy loads. And the way they would team those two oxen together is a yoke over their shoulders to pull. So Jesus said, picture this in your mind, take my yoke. I'm going to be on one side, you on the other. In other words, Jesus is actually saying, team up with me. Team up with me. I'm stronger than you. I can handle the load. I can handle the load if you'll let me. But if you're yoked up, if you take His yoke, guess what? You have to go the same direction He's going. And if you try to yoke up and then you try to go another direction, then Jesus is going to go, He's stronger than you are. It will wear you out. It will wear you out because you're fighting God. Are any of you fighting God? Have any of you ever fought with God? Have you ever tried to go another direction that God's trying to take you? You look at somebody else and says, hey, Jesus, I'd like to go the direction He's going. And He may say, that's not the direction I have for you. Are any of you fighting against God? See, to find rest in Him, you have to go the same direction that He is going. And you have to have the same schedule that He has. In other words, I find a lot of people want to be totally in control of their schedule. They want to make their schedule. I found out I'm a very schedule kind of guy. And I get kind of bent out of shape if anything gets out of my schedule. But I've realized that even though I make my schedule and I know what I'm doing through that day, I have to be very cautious to be flexible with the one I am yoked with. Because He may change my schedule. And here's what I had to learn. Have any ever thought, I just don't have time? Has that ever come out of your mind before? I just do not have time. That is stinking thinking. And that's the kind of thing, when you have that in your head going on, can be very destructive. I don't have time. I don't have time. Let me ask you this. You're now yoked with Jesus. And you now are going the same direction he's going. And you're going with the same schedule he has for you. Now, instead of not having time, you have time. See if this is true. You have time to do everything God wants you to do. Would that be true? You have time to do everything God wants you to do. In other words, this person you have yoked with, is he going to give you more than you can do? Is he going to give you a schedule you cannot meet? Is he going to give you a lot of things to do that you say, I don't have time? Where did that come from? That come from your own selfish being, is I want to do some things on my schedule, Lord, that's not on your schedule. And so we're linked, or we're yoked with one that we give him our schedule. And this thought comes in my mind many times. I don't have time. You know what? I always have to do some rethinking now. Have a healthy mind. Time out, Vernon. There's enough time to do everything God wants me to do. So what's the problem? I'm doing some things perhaps that God doesn't want me to do. Or secondly, I'm doing some things improperly, and I can do them more efficiently if I just figure it out. But there is enough time. There is enough time. People say, I don't have time to do this or this or this, usually because they want to do their thing rather than God's thing. There is enough time to do everything God wants you to do. Would you agree? There's enough time. Do you think you're yoked with a person, Jesus, that doesn't have the correct schedule for your life? There's enough time to do everything God wants you to do. There's one other verb, not only to come to Jesus and take his yoke upon you, learn from me. Learn what? Learn what? Here's what I've discovered over the years. The better I know Jesus, the better I know me. And believe it or not, I did not know me very well. I'm still learning more and more about me, to know me. I did not know the kind of junky, kinky thinking that was going on inside my head. I went to a great friend and a counselor, professional counselor, for a year to get to know Vernon. Do you know you? Do you know your thought patterns? Do you know what's going on in your soul? Come to me, Jesus said. Take my yoke and learn. Learn more about this Jesus that you're yoked to. See, that's still the picture. Learn more. Learn the direction he's trying to go with you. Learn about his strength. And he will teach you also more things about yourself. Know and understand you. Know and understand you. And he gives wisdom. See, knowledge changes very, very little. It's wisdom. You know the word for wisdom? The literal word for wisdom in the Bible is skill. Do you know that? It takes skill to know how to use this knowledge, or it does you no good. You're yoked to a very wise person, Jesus. What are you going to learn? When he says, learn from me, you're going to learn wisdom. And that wisdom will show you how to use that knowledge that you already have. One last part of this in verse 30. I love it. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Jesus saying that to you. My yoke, my burden. This yoke is easy and this load is light. How could he say that? Because this yoke was made just for you. the yoke of that person sitting next to you is not going to fit you. It's like putting on shoes that do not fit you, and they rub blisters, and they're uncomfortable. You can hardly walk, and you're worn out by trying to wear shoes that doesn't fit you. This yoke is made personally for you. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy because it's made personally for you. The reason why that we do this course called Discover Your Design is we want to help you know how God has designed you so that whatever you do in the ministry of our church, it's a yoke that fits. My yoke is easy. The task at church is easy because it fits you. It's easy because that's the way God has designed you. And it's a passion. It doesn't wear you out. It actually energizes you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. It's light. I'm sure you've heard the story about the man that came up on a small boy carrying a smaller boy on his back that was lame. One leg didn't work. And he looked at the young boy and he said, "Young boy, isn't that little boy that you're carrying so heavy?" You remember what he said, don't you? "He's not heavy. He's my brother. He's not heavy. He's my brother." The load that Jesus has to give us, when it comes out of a pure love, to love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, strength, all that you are, it's no longer heavy. He's my brother. It's no longer heavy. That's my passion. It's no longer heavy. I want to do it. It's no longer heavy. I'm fulfilled in doing that very thing. I wouldn't miss it for anything in the world. So how's your soul? How's your soul? You know, we talk about wellness, and here's where we're going through this whole series. We want to take a look, to always be looking and saying, okay, how's my soul? How's my soul? In other words, how is my thinking? Because God is interested in the way that you think. How are my emotions? How do you feel? You're dealing with any kind of grief? You're dealing with any kind of heartache? You're dealing with any kind of stress in your life or anxiety or depression? Does God care about that? Yes, indeed. He wants to create wholeness. We will not be totally perfect in this world until Jesus comes again. But the process is going on now. Can you say this morning without any question, it is well with my soul? I know you've heard this probably many times. A man by the name of Spanford Vacht, he was a very, very successful attorney and businessman in Chicago. He is certainly acquainted with pain and grief. Had a son that died of pneumonia at age 5. The Chicago fire came and destroyed his financial being and left him without anything. God was gracious to him. He's able to rebuild everything. And then later on was going to take a vacation in Europe with his family because his wife was really worn out. And at the last minute, before they got on the cruise liner, he had a business thing that had to take care of. And he said, "You go on and I will stay here and then I'll join you in just a few days." You know the story. 4 days into the trip, their ocean liner got hit by another ship and it soon sank. 131 on board, and most all of them died. But one sailor saw a piece of wood out there and someone laying on that piece of wood. He went over and found them, and they were still alive. It happened to be Anne, this man's wife. But all of her four children that were with her went to a deep, cold, watery grave. She sent a message back by telegram, all alone. What do I do? He immediately got on board another ship and made his way. And the captain, when they got to that very place where his children were buried in the sea, and he looked at that, and you know the words he began to pen out, "It is well with my soul." When sorrow like sea billows roll, do you have any sorrow in your life today? Like sea billows, they just seem to overwhelm him. He said, "It is well with my soul." Well, they had four more children. One of them died of pneumonia at age 4. And he still had a lot of struggles. But it was well with his soul. Let's pray together and let God touch our soul. God, I'm so grateful that you're interested in more than just me going to heaven, which is vital. Nothing more important than that. But you're so very important in our life to be restored. You deeply desire to restore us mentally and emotionally and spiritually in every facet of us. And I just pray that during this series that you will help us come to a deep sense and say, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." And only you can do that in our life. And we thank you for being a God of restoration in Jesus' name. Amen.